Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. I'm with my lovely wife, Carrie, on this Faith and Family Friday edition of the program. Hi, dear.
Hey, Tom.
Carrie, so this is, I'm so excited to talk in this program. We're going to relate some of the key things that happened on our getting away in the last 5 days, which was really a stupendous act. And I'm feeling kind of less than stupendous about the fact that we didn't do this before. But we'll talk more about that in just a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, I thank you that you are provident, that you shepherd us and provide for us. And through your Son, Jesus, we cry out to you, Abba, Father. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that gives us strength, that prompts us and anoints us to follow a path today that is new and fresh and even surprising. Lord, we give you that space and we invite you, Lord, to surprise us, each and all of us, all those who are listening, surprise us today, Holy Spirit, in how you lead us. Please prompt in us the inspiration, the grace to be able to glorify the Lord, to let God's kingdom break into our lives and through our lives to those that are around us. And let it be for us a source of joy and a source of a great adventure. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Carrie, I used that phrase at the very end of the prayer, a great adventure, an adventure. That was how you, on our drive home, that was how you, I think, kind of summed up the 5 days that we had together, that you talked about it as an adventure. Do you remember when we were first leaving on Sunday, Carrie and I went away for the first time in 24 years. We went away for more than just a day or two, which was rare enough when we did that with raising 9 kids.
I think we did go away a couple of times to do retreats, but it was us putting on a weekend retreat.
Okay.
Do you remember those?
Well, we did that, like that retreat 5 years ago. Is that what you mean?
Well, and then we also went to Bend, Oregon at one point and did a retreat, and we went, yeah, that's the only time we've gone away though, but that was usually focused on other people in ministry.
Okay.
So this is the first time we've just gone away to focus on us.
Yeah. But Carrie, with her German spirit, we get stuff done.
Right? Oh,
we weren't lounging by the pool with the mojito. We didn't lounge by any pool.
That was all in the evening time after we got the work done. Then we could relax. Just something that was surprising about that trip is the beauty. I was so shocked at how beautiful driving from Spokane to Boise. And then we came back a different route on I-84.
And yeah, went going like through across Pendleton. Northeastern Oregon. So we went east and then we came up northeast. Well, we went west.
And just, had no idea there were beautiful, like 9,000 feet high mountains. Was that the Blue Mountains? The
Blue Mountains were on one side. I don't remember.
There was other mountains on the other.
It's on the other side.
It's just so gorgeous. I enjoyed the drive. I thought, let's get there. It's a far drive. It's going to take a long time. But I think some of the best parts of this was the driving in the conversations in the car, which was surprising.
Well, you're someone that tends to look at driving as part of the experience. I tend to look at driving as a means to an end.
Have you converted to the truth? Have you come over?
So For sure. For sure. And it was because of that surprise launch that we had on Sunday. And I was kind of sick to begin with, which wasn't maybe helpful, but maybe that's just an excuse for me.
No.
Resistant and stubborn.
No, you've been sick for a long time. And
it was a long time, but it was a week. It felt like a long time.
Half. It just weighed on you because that your energy was pushed in other areas and you really didn't have a lot heading out the front door. So yeah, I think it was nice to see you get healthier every day. I was checking in. How are you feeling? How's your cough? Where are your aches? How's your chest? So yeah, you sound so much better now. But yeah, I think driving now is just an easier thing with having the ability to listen to any kind of music, any kind of book, any kind of podcast. If you're going on a road trip, I think we could all just enjoy that if you're able to listen to and be entertained in that type of way.
So I'm going to use the word intentional. Carrie, you are someone that I think that's a gift that you bring, that when you know you're taking an extended ride with one of our kids, like if you're driving back to Seattle or even driving like Annalise to school in the morning, it's, you know, 40 minutes maybe, and you're going to be in the car with her. You think about it as intentional. Like there's a meaning that this time can have beyond the raw idea that we're in the car driving towards a destination, that you give it a meaning by saying, let me ensure that the content that is going to be occurring in this car, whether it's a podcast or music or praise or prayer or something else, is in fact going to be enriching for the ones that you're with. And I love that. That's a beautiful gift. And I don't do that. I'm not like that to naturally be thinking like that. I tend to just sort of show up and let's go. And, oh, I hope something happens.
You know, I listened to a lot of podcasts and I was really excited to save some of my favorites or some of the ones that I just had questions about regarding what was being taught or said. And so just to finally have you to myself for a few days was really helpful because I played a couple of different ones for you. And it is really nice to be able to have all that content, but also there has to be some kinds of parameters around it. And I don't always listen to podcasts or music. Sometimes I'm just barely awake. Where's the coffee? And I don't know. But I just feel like with the phone nowadays and with all the people or places you can go to say what's good, what's the best, what's the top, it's so, one, don't be overwhelmed by it because that can happen. But two, make sure to find the ones that are better than the others because there's just so much out there. It's kind of like going to a library or a bookstore and you just don't know where to begin when it comes to picking a book. That's the same with podcasts.
So one of the things I learned from von Balthasar, that wonderful cardinal, theologian, et cetera, priest in the, he died in 1988. He talked about how important it was your first word, the word by which you launch, is so important because it creates a direction. And that concept is, for instance, folks hear this, how you launch on a family vacation, how you launch as, like for us, a couple getting away for several days, how you launch in literally the drive, driving away and you're going to be heading off. Pay attention to that. It is important. So I know we, growing up with our kids, whenever we would take a long drive, what would we begin with?
The rosary.
We'd begin with the rosary. And it was typically get the kids a chance to kind of get settled in. And okay, when we get to the highway, it's going to be about 10 minutes. So now's your chance to get settled in. Once we hit the highway, we're now going to pray a rosary. Eventually, they got to the point where they were like, let's start right now. Because they knew there was no hemming and hawing and fighting your way out of it. No, this is how we launch. We launch by praying the rosary. And even if it was not the best family rosary, it did help clear away the blockage and it created some space for God and his grace to be at work in the kids while we were together in the car. So how you launch is important. What's your first word is important.
I just think sometimes it's so hard to do that as the mom packing the car, making sure the food is organized, all the kids have their items. There's a lot of what do I need to take care of before I leave the house. So sometimes that whole launch gets a little bit overlooked. And so to be able to do that well definitely takes time outside of the trip to think about it.
I think one of the biggest stressors, and like, let's say, things that could bring a challenge to launching well, is your timing, right? The time frame for leaving.
Like if you leave early versus mid-morning versus...
No, what I mean is, you say we're leaving at 8 and it's 8:45. Let's just say mom's not in a good mood, right? So...
Do we ever leave on time?
But this is what I want to say, right? I told you I knew that my parents were notorious for showing up late. And what was that kind of funny story? When I first entered the seminary, there was a special mass that started at 10 o'clock or 10:30. It started at 10:30. And I told them it started at 9 in the morning. And they showed up at 11. So... Isn't that amazing, right?
I didn't know they were that late to things.
Well, it was just, it was, I'm like, wow. And that was like an extreme example, but I remember it was a poignant one because I happened to be the person welcoming people at the gate.
Oh,
they
didn't
come through. And I'm like, what is going on? I know they have to come. And this is before cell phones. So I'm just like waiting what happened to them. And they finally show up and they, let's just say mom was not happy. She was not happy. And then when I said to her, no, don't worry. We just got started. You're not 2 hours late. Don't worry. We're doing fine. Let's go. And so it was kind of redeeming the time quite a bit. Anyways.
I think a lot of families follow a time clock. They're usually either early, somewhat early, on time, a few minutes late, or they're just notoriously late. I mean, I think genuinely speaking, you as a family culture fall into one of those four or five areas. And we genuinely are on time. There's a couple of things that we've changed lately, but that's because our kids are older, where we're no longer late to mass, or we're not on time. We get there early.
Yeah.
But that has not always been the case. And then I think it also depends on where we're going. Is it a wedding or is it a funeral or is it a
concert? I could tell you
concert.
There's one thing where our kids have almost assuredly never launched late. In fact, there's the you know, I call it, are you Pharaoh or Moses? Are you a slave driver or are you a shepherd leading people? And oftentimes there's that, going to drive them forward to get your stuff packed, get your stuff in the car, get moving. Don't just sit on the couch. We're supposed to be leaving. There is one event that happens where our kids, they are moving and they're self-motivating. They're moving. They're up. They're getting packed, getting
ready to think what it is.
In fact, they're up before we are. They're getting themselves dressed and ready before we are. They're getting the car packed before we are, and they are gone. You know what it is? Skiing.
Oh, I was thinking maybe skiing.
Yeah. Well, and what's the reason? They value it. They have a vision for it. They know what they're going to experience. And folks, hear that. It's so important. As far as you can't always do it, but the thing that you value, to be able to help them hook into something that they value.
I think often they will be on time or early if we offer to buy them a morning drink.
There you go.
That is when they're...
That's what they value.
The night before, they will get up a half hour early or earlier than they usually get up.
Right. Well, we would do that where... Oh, after adoration, we're going to go get an ice cream. Or if you do a great job during mass, you're going to get a donut when the kids were younger, right? So that's that, you put the motivation behind the thing that is a good thing that they don't maybe relate to in a good way, but it is truly good for them and it'll make them good if they enter it. So I just think that the way that we launched was, let's leave, and we left, but it was, what's our first word? So we did two things when we got launched. The first thing we did was I said to you, okay, here we are. We're about to leave. I want you to try to paint a picture in your head. What are you looking like? What are you saying? How are you feeling on the drive home? I attempted to raise up a vision in your mind for I feel so good about those days that we just did because this happened. And so it was a way to try to attach the end back to the beginning, right? Begin with the end in mind. And so if I could get a better sense of what you were hoping to have happen over the course of those days, you could articulate it, then that would help me recognize what do you value about these days and vice versa. Hey, let me share about the things that I value, the things that I'm hoping for, so that at the end of this time that we have together, here's what I'm going to say. I am so excited because we accomplished X and Y and Z. And so, do you remember we did that?
No.
You don't. Okay. Well, it was 5 days
ago. You asked me on the way back, do you remember what you hoped for? And I thought, wait, you asked that question?
And then when I gave you your answers, you were like, oh, yeah, that's right.
We had such a great trip, Tom. It was just a blur. It was
too
many other things to relish.
Well, it was also indicative of kind of who we are, because you were like, I want a plan and I want a budget and I want to be able to relax and I want to be able to enjoy us and all that one life. Right. And I talked more about vision and I want that larger stage and all of that. All right. We're up against a break here. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. So how you launch, how you get started is important. Folks, remember that as you're doing things with your family this summer, heading to vacations, heading to get away for the weekend, or even heading into an evening. Like, how do we want to spend our evening together or some other significant event? So, Carrie, as we left on our 5 days away, the first thing we did was, well, what's the goal that we have in mind? And let that shine a light on how we're going to spend the time that we have. And then the second thing was, you were intentional about saying, hey, I've picked out a podcast that I think would be valuable for us to kind of break open our thinking and how do we want to enter into these processes for doing some visioning and getting a picture of the future and how we're going to get there and all of that. How did you actually bump into that podcast? And do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, the podcast I listen to is called All the Hacks. It's with Chris Hutchins, and there's a bunch of couples that they all hang out together in the Silicon Valley. And so he really started this to help couples or people hack into travel. So how do you get free airline tickets, free hotel stays, more higher end experiences? And how do you go to these great resorts all around the world? It's a big travel, but he's kind of branched out now. And so he does like super achievers and the latest summer deals, digital wallet security, how to rent better, how to cash back versus point. I don't know. It just goes on and on. But anyhow, he had this guy on who talks about 10Xing, and it just sounded really great. It was learning the 10X growth mindset with, his name's Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Anyhow, I found the content to be really fascinating, and I thought you would really enjoy it, because when you try to break your just general thought patterns, how do you disrupt or rupture the status quo? And so this was this whole idea of doing real transformative thinking to make a change in whatever it is. It could be in your business or in your family life or in your mental health or spiritual growth. And so that's just one of the podcasts I picked up. I don't even know how I found him, but every now and then I'll find something that sounds interesting. I don't listen to all of his talks.
So I think that I haven't really heard married couples talk about this, but I'm going to bet that this is a phenomenon. Namely, when you and I are discussing some, let's say, foundational issue in our marriage or family or a relationship with God or whatever, or money, there's a way in which we fall into the same old pattern. We have the same emphasis that we typically do and a similar critique of the other's position.
I think it's so funny when we fall into that, Tom. Sorry, I just interrupted you.
That's our pattern.
True that. When we're with couples our age and going out to eat or whatnot, and you can see, oh, this is a
pattern.
This is something they fall into, and sometimes it's cute, sometimes it's awkward, sometimes it's just, well, you know, we're two human beings who have our own limits, and so it's sometimes messy. I typically find it endearing, like, oh, this is where they do well, or this is where they kind of struggle and bump along. And I think, you know, this is not something we had 10 years ago, but I feel like now we definitely have these things we do. Anyhow, it is interesting. And yeah.
So the question is, in that type of circumstance, when there's a lack of confidence that if we're going to talk about this issue that we've talked about all these other years, and we bump up against some of the same thinking and limits and walls, well, what good is it? And so, for instance, when you say, I want a budget. And then I say, like when in ministry, it was 25 years ago, right? You say, I want a budget. And I'd say, how much are people going to donate at that event? How many speaking events am I going to get in the 6 months? How many resources am I going to sell? And it was one of those areas where there was a let's call it a fundamental challenge, where I had this sense of vision and trust, and God will take care of us, and I'm going to work hard. And what was your frustration?
Was this 25 years ago?
Yeah, it was also 2 months ago, right? I just want to say that you said it's a more recent pattern, but it's a pattern that endures, dear.
Oh, I love you. The funny thing is, neither one of us are good at budget. So that's, I think one of us has to be the adult in the relationship. So it falls on me.
Did you see how you just characterized the idea of a budget? That's funny.
Sorry. It's been a long week. I've had to be with you for 5 days. It was great. No, yeah, it's just a dynamic that we have. And it's just not always fun to talk about stuff where you just fall into the same mindset.
Right.
So, and so just how do you dislodge that? How do you transform that? How do you like,
and that's what this podcast did.
Shake out of that. And, right. And there's so much good in a relationship. There's so much good. And it's, how do you get stuck? It's very discouraging, or it can be very, like, how do we end up here?
How do you get beyond the limits?
Yeah.
How do you get beyond the structures that are encrusted in the relationship? And that's what this 10X podcast, referencing this book, is really all about. It's, how do you break those boundaries that are associated with, I'm going to use a word, a phrase, current reality.
Yeah.
Your current reality, which is your present, is very often weighted down by your past.
Did you talk about how it's about the future self, and you look back to the present self and it dislodges to motivate you to, okay.
Yeah. So I mentioned it a couple of days ago on the program, but the more that I talk about it with you,
mm-hmm.
the clearer it is becoming in me.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about it conceptually versus talking about it the way that you and I actually did it, and we're still doing it. We didn't complete it.
Yeah.
It was really powerful.
To really be very specific, it's, they kind of hold up this idea that you can achieve more in 1 week than most people can do in a year if you have this 10X growth mindset. So it is outrageous thinking. It is changing every which way you do things typically to just break through. And of course, this is much more related to businesses, but you can bring it into married couples relationships, or relationships with the children, or spiritual growth. I think I'm thinking of Ignatius Loyola. Is it the 30 day? Who does the 30 day?
Yeah. So he has the spiritual exercises, which is a 30 day retreat in which he takes a look at certain themes over the course of the 30 days, the principles and foundations of your vocation and of the spiritual life.
And I think
your mission.
Yeah. And so I was thinking of that book, because when I had read it or started to look through it, I don't know if it was like 4 or 5 months ago. It seemed very intensive, and every day, all day, different times of the day, this is something you need to take seriously. You need to get away. You really need to. So it's kind of that level of intensity around you pick three areas where you want a 10x. And
And
that's just
10x means basically 10 times the amount. So if it was an investment, if you invested $10 and you made 10%, you now have $11. If you do 2x, it's $20, it's double. 10x is $100, 10 times the amount. And so the idea is, and I've done consulting work where I've helped organizations envision a future that is beyond the current reality. So often, folks that are involved in this can be so bound up by their current reality that their future is still very, very tightly bound up with their current reality. Because that's what makes sense. It's,
Yeah.
oh, we're going to do this a bit better than we've done it before. We'll improve in this. We'll take a bit of this away. We'll grow in this area.
Yeah.
And so it's so connected to the present.
And they what they'll say is the biggest mistake most people make is they don't set their goals high enough. So you have to take this massive action to actually fulfill your true potential. So it is a whole different way of seeing your present reality coming from your future self.
Yeah, I it,
Not
when
that I'm really clear on it. Sorry. I
no,
just
this is the this was the
hack. Remember it's the podcast is called A Life.
right. Well, and that's where he is. His approach is frankly a bit more based in psychology and
Yes.
in a Mormon mindset where you create your own future.
That's funny as we were talking about him and you had said,
I bet he's Mormon.
I bet he's Mormon. I
Yeah.
said, "How? Why do you think that?"
Right, because so many of these concepts about the future is you envision a future that is an ideal that you're going to then create, you're going to make it real. And when I was able to dislodge that, like that thread and able to put into it a Catholic understanding of growth and holiness, which is unveiling the true essence that is present, but in a hidden state, then all of a sudden that 10x future is about saying, and he says time frames can be 90 days, it can be a year, it can be 3 years. Like put out into the future, okay, here we are, it's May 31st. So let's start June 1st and let's go June, July, August. Okay, so September 1st, there I am. What does a 10x Tom look like in 90 days in these three areas of my life? And so that's what we did. I started to paint a picture of what am I, my three areas I'm focusing on are going to be, again, my health and fitness is one area. A second area is around my spiritual life. And the third is around my career and my work. And so I painted a picture of that's what I'm going to be doing. That's me in 90 days. And then it's now works backwards. Oh my goodness. That's how I'm living in 90 days. Well, that now starts to pull, it starts to bring back a powerful influence or a powerful impact on the here and now and today of my life. And so, brothers and sisters, I kind of shared this a couple of days ago, and I don't think I was really as clear as I wanted to be, but as Carrie and I worked through this exercise more fully, it became, frankly, more powerful. And it became clearer to me that I could, in fact, paint a picture that was pretty compelling of what an ideal me looks like, how much I weigh, what kind of exercise I'm doing, how I'm eating, and being able to say, that's me in 90 days. Oh my goodness. What does that mean for my decision right now? And the stronger that image is, the more compelling that image is, the more that it's invested with certain meaningful, measurable goals, the more that it will shine a light and influence what I'm doing now. Oh, that's not me. That's not who I am. Who I am is that guy that's out there in 90 days, And that's the me that's going to start showing up today.
I thought it was funny that they used the David's Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Because that's something you've used in previous talks.
Right. Yeah. That if you guys remember, growth and holiness is not as much progressive as it is proleptic. Progressive means, oh, I'm not doing these things right now, but I'll improve and tomorrow I'll be closer and closer and I'll start doing them more and more. And eventually I'll get there. I'm not there, but I'll eventually get there by progressing and advancing. That's the progressive approach to growth. The proleptic approach is to say, no, wait a minute. That's who I am truly, most deeply and profoundly. But that's hidden right now. It's hidden by things that are not authentically me, that are actually false presentations of who I am, who I think I am, or how I want to be. No, the deepest, truest identity of who I am and how I'm living, that's really inside of me. It's hidden. And I need to remove the things that are blocking that me from showing up. So it's unveiling what is present, but in a hidden state. So that was the Michelangelo. He looks at the block of marble and he sees David, and it's his job to set David free from the marble, not by doing anything to the marble, but by removing the parts of the marble that are hiding the masterpiece that's always already there. So it was there in his mind. He was able to envision it. And because he was able to envision it so clearly, he knew what needed to be taken away so that the masterpiece would reveal itself. That is the idea of the 10X for your life.
I love that, Tom. I think for me, it's not thinking so much how much work it's going to be, because that would be a little disarming, but to think how great the results are. So it's a different way of seeing it. And I think that's why they do this whole vision thing when you're trying to grow, is they want you to do it, like we've talked about, a vision board, or you journal in the morning and you sit and you say, who is this, you know, future person? Or you've done it with the ninja training. And so this is just another way to dislodge and to break
the patterns of that standard approach. We're on the same road doing the same things over again. Why are we going to get a different outcome? And that's what this 10X idea or approach to doing some life planning and visioning is meant to be all about. So we're up against a break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that some more, but we'll also advance and move forward into other things, Carrie, that happened as well. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, we share all of this to say that we didn't complete all the work. In fact, when we were driving back, there was a little bit of frustration around, goodness, we didn't get a chance to really flesh out as much as we wanted to. And so it left a bit of, let's call it homework or ongoing work for us to continue to envision this. I am excited to take seriously the concept of using the 90 days of this summer to put into practice or attempt to implement these three areas in my life and envisioning what they are meant to be in terms of making them real in the present. So I'll have a chance to kind of report back by sharing with you guys live. I'm not going to tell you what I've agreed to, but I want to see. Well, and his idea was that, just a last comment on this, then we'll move forward, is that vision is meant to be a bit outrageous, extraordinary. Again, it's not just doubling your growth and your potential, it's 10 times. And so there's a way in which you have to go to the extreme, yes, in order to create the space to be able to get to the potential that's really there. Do you know what? I just realized where I did that.
No.
When I would work with Boeing executives on helping them become more animated in their presentation. They would come and they would present, and then I'd say, "No, we want to get more energy in that. Okay, bring me more energy." And what they would do is they would start with their like current status, and they would just give me a little bit more, small, incremental. And eventually I'd stop them and I'd say, "Your job right now is to be extreme. I want you to be ridiculously extreme in the energy you bring." And they would say, "Really?" And yes. And then they would. And finally, when they would be willing to do that, then it would like break them free from the progressive approach.
Mm.
And they would be able to settle into a level of energy that I was actually looking for.
Yeah.
So it was very freeing.
So take massive action. It's the only way to fulfill your true potential.
Well, yeah. And okay, here's my last point of the last point is that, well, is it just disconnected from the present reality? And the answer is no, it's not. There's this underlying idea that we can spend 80% of our time doing things that aren't optimizing the things that we were really meant to do or that we're the best at. And so it's really discovering what would happen in our lives if we could focus on that 20% of the things that are making us most authentic or successful or living authentically and maximizing those things. So you could think about whether it's sleep, eat habits or your work life habits or your spiritual life habits, right? You could focus in and say, "Oh, I do little bits of that." Well, no, let's take the best gifts, the best expressions, and let's maximize those in ways that are beyond what you're currently doing and then see what happens.
Hmm.
So that's the idea.
Hmm.
All right. Any final comments on that, Carrie, before we move on?
I am still pondering it. I think for me, I need to take more time to pray about and reflect on what that looks like. Taking massive action, I think, takes great focus for it to not just be ordinary or a little extraordinary. This is extraordinary. I think it takes creative thinking.
I can't wait to see what time you're going to wake up tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Carrie, you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're September 1st self.
That's
time
right.
For your September 1st self.
I don't go to sleep. My September 1st, I'm up 24 hours a day.
You're
I don't need sleep
all night. You're like St. Seraphim of Sarov.
I can be in three places. I can be at the Adoration Chapel, in the gym, and making breakfast for my kids all at the same time. I'm just going to tri-locate.
All right.
Sorry, honey. You asked for that.
You did. I kind of walked into that one. Thank you. So we left our kids behind and they were happy. They were waving happily as we drove away. Yeehaw, let's have fun.
It's just nothing better than when your parents leave and they're like, "Okay, we'll be back in a few days." And it is just this freeing. I know how great it was for them because when we came back, I think within 1.5 hour, "When are you guys leaving again?" I was like, "A minute, this is my house. When are you leaving?" But it was just really funny to see us walk in and all of a sudden put down the rules or put things back in place or, "Hey, why is this not?"
This is very fun. Yeah, we had all this space. Well, I knew that something was up. You kind of caught it. Like, "Hey, wait a minute. Our daughter just asked us for a location." She wanted to know, you don't want if the servants knew when the master of the house was going to appear, they would have everything in order.
See, this is it. Usually the parents want the kids' location, but when the kids want the parents' location, then you know the gig is up, man. Anyhow.
So, well, and truth be told, our daughter wanted to have a nice clean house for us and wanted to make sure that, you know, it was going to be in this beautiful state. And it was really beautifully clean for the most
part. You believe that?
Yeah, I do. Boy, I'm naive. Yeah. I loved it. Well, one of the things that we had said 2 weeks ago when we were on was, help your kids have a great summer by like, "Hey, come on, you're going to get a job. Good things happen when you get a job. Things are going to be hard for you if you don't have a job." And so I think it's important that we report in and say, "Hey, how do they do? Where are they at? And did it work?" So do you think we did a good job with putting like like holding them accountable for using their time, get up today and be productive, looking for a job, working, or if you don't have a job, you're going to not only look for a job, but you're also going to be helpful around the house.
You know, I was at the point where I would hire someone to help my kids find a job. I think that could be a job, is to help people find jobs, which maybe is a temp organization, but what a brilliant job. Who can I hire to help my kids find a job? Just because of, I think, our past history. But yeah, I think you did a great job setting them down. The more we squeezed, you don't have a phone, you don't have a car, you don't have any extra food that's, you know, from the restaurant.
Hanging out with their friends, doing sleepovers, having events, that these things, the spigot started to shut. And that was a bit atypical because I think we were more exhorting them in previous years. And now we were holding them accountable because there was more at stake. Guys, do you realize how much money, you know, is you're wasting by not getting a job, et cetera?
And I think every kid likes having a job. I mean, maybe not necessarily what they're doing, but that freedom of feeling like they're bringing in an income, they have the freedom to spend it, most of it, not all of it. It's just a great feeling to go out and get a paycheck. Everyone should have that experience when they're young before they get a real, real job, to have that economy buys freedom. So, and then for them, it was the more you work on getting a job and the more hours you have as at working at a job, the more freedom you have with the car and with going to bed at night or whatever time you need to come home in the evening, or if you can go hang out and sleep over. So there is a way in which some kids just earn more freedoms because they work harder.
Well, and what's funny is one of our four that came home was quick to get a job.
Multiple jobs.
Yeah, she got multiple jobs.
She was helping her siblings get jobs. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's Ariana. And so what was Ariana doing before she actually secured a full-time job?
I don't remember.
She was posting stuff on Facebook.
Oh,
on Facebook Marketplace. Okay. Carrie, somebody called me. Somebody called me and said,
so much stuff.
Are you guys okay financially? He said, I was concerned. He said, what's Tom doing?
She used your Facebook profile.
She was using my Facebook profile. So she's like, all these things that Tom is selling, are they really that bad off financially?
That's hilarious.
Where they need to sell these things. I'm like, no, thank you so much for being concerned. Oh. But no, it was my daughter was, you know, she said, I can sell stuff. Great. So she threw all this stuff up. Well, I still get tons of messages every day. She's taking the stuff down.
It's to be monitored.
Right. So we've got to take these stuff down because people keep asking me, is this for sale, that for sale? And so she got a job doing, watching a kid, like daycare, like a nanny, and full-time job. And you know what she was doing today? That job's Monday to Friday. She is interviewing for a job for all day Saturdays.
Great.
Isn't that impressive?
Yes.
Another nanny job. So that's her. And that's maybe her gift. We also got a wonderful phone call from our daughter, Mary Catherine, who's been looking around for work, but she is more the Pied Piper having fun. And she's struggled to be more intentional about finding work. Well, she got a full-time job and it's going to be like at least 40 hours a week as a waitress. And she is very excited about it because she's going to be paid. She's going to have some tips. And it's like, I don't know if it's Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, or it's 7 days.
It's
a week.
Probably on the weekends.
Yeah, probably the weekends.
It's going to be, that's when most people go out.
Okay. Well, Carrie, we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll talk about our boys. Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, I brought up the two daughters first, the one who got the job first, Ariana, and then Mary Catherine, who followed after her, and her job starts, I think, on Monday. So it's still taken her quite a number of weeks. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters, when you think about helping your kids, in this instance, we're talking about helping them get a job. We were supporting them, we were encouraging them, and holding them accountable. Each of those three things, right? coming alongside where you're struggling, cheerleading the positive things that you're doing and you're making gains, but then also holding you accountable and saying, you have an expectation that you're going to do this, or there are going to be consequences. All three of those things are important ways of helping your kids grow. But there's also the sense of saying, different kids need different things. So our one daughter, very self-initiated and in fact performed, got it done and moved forward. The other one, she needed more boundaries. She needed more guidance to be able to get across that finish line or the starting line of, of having the job done. And so whether it was help with the resume, even help like narrowing the options.
They think that if they apply online, that somehow they're going to get an interview. And mom, I applied to 20 jobs. And you have to actually make a physical appearance in that store, in that space, to the manager.
You got to differentiate yourself.
I said, you have 100 kids applying for one job. How are you going to stand out and stand apart from those 199 other children or young adults? And they don't think that way necessarily. It is a really, I was thinking about it. I learned a lot about economy, just trying to get different jobs in the summer. It was a great experience. So just them trying to figure out how to get jobs and what they pay and where it's at and the hours. It's just like a really valuable life experience.
Yes. So in addition to that, so we have the two boys, and the two boys ended up getting a job working for the same company. And it's kind of funny to say out loud what they're going to be doing. They're going to be going and knocking on doors and selling solar panels or presenting the idea of solar panels as an option for a home. And they're pretty excited about it. I think they ended up having to learn how to interview. And then now they're learning how to sell. And a lot of what they're going to learn is how to face rejection. And I am really pleased that there are dimensions of this job that are just hard. I want them to have a hard job. And it's hard to walk around in the sun all day and knock on doors and have 9 out of 10 doors just shut in your face.
Well, just to clarify, Jean-Luc said, oh no, mom, we don't have to go during the day. We have to go more towards the evening because that's when people are home. I said, oh, okay. So how many hours a day? Well, 5. I said, so what are you going to be doing the other 13 hours a day? He's already thinking through
that.
He
was thinking through the minimum. And I said, how many hours a week are you going to be working? Well, at least 25 or something or 30. And I said, so you're going to be working how many? 60. Thank you. Yes.
I told my mom this and she said, oh, they'll be great evangelists. They'll know how to sell the gospel. When they start to learn people and temperaments and how to knock on a door and be rejected,
they're going to learn so much about how to relate to people, how to present, how to communicate with people in a way that is influential. So they're going to take so much of what they learned at the Oaks in terms of how do you present yourself, and they're going to advance that. And I love the fact that this is about authenticity. It's not about manipulation. It's about influence. It's not about, again, trying to manipulate people or convince them of something, because their job isn't to like close a deal. Their job is to can introduce the idea and then help them along and then hand on the folks they do. So I think that there are many dimensions of this job that are going to be hard, but this is one of those bonum arduums, the difficult good, that if there is a good here, that this good is going to be achieved only through real persistence and effort. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of it for them in learning this whole dimension of their lives. So one other thing that we came back with was, oh, guys, guess what? There's a car that we've had at home that is considered garaged. And so I don't know, folks, if you realize this, but if you have a car that is being used by kids and they're away at school, you don't have to be paying the full amount of insurance on it if you're not using the car. You can change the status of it. You can make it what's called garaged, which means you just commit not to drive the car. And when you do that, the level of insurance goes way down. So I bring that up because Now these kids are going to need, these young adults are going to need access to that car. So we said, guess what? You guys got jobs. You guys need access to this car. You are going to carry the financial burden of the car. We're going to turn on the insurance spigot for it. Now it's an active car and there's going to be gas. That's the insurance is on you. The gas is on you. Any kind of upkeep or maintenance, it's going to be on you. And in addition to that, we are going to charge you for the things that we normally carry, which are things like the phone service that they have. So we've come up with a number of dollars that they're going to pay us over the course of the summer that's going to cover these bills.
And then we're going to go away again. Take all that money and go to another city. No, I think that's great. I don't know if we've been, I guess it's just, they're in a different, kids today are in such a different place than when we were growing up. And so it is interesting trying to figure out how to navigate the young adult life.
Harry, the theme that I hear about from, I've heard this from employers. I've heard this from other parents. I've heard this from teachers, is that young people today are quick to give up when they bump up against some resistance or some complication where it's not immediately obvious that this is going to be solved or success accomplished. They just back away. They throw up their hands and they enter a position of being powerless. What are you going to do? I don't know what to do. Dad, I'm stuck. And that idea of being a problem solver or someone who can find a way, who's not going to give up, but is going to figure it out and with care and with excellence, get this thing to the finish line. That capability is hugely valuable, in any guy or gal that is going to have a career. You want to stand out among your peers in this generation, become an excellent problem solver.
That's what AI is for. You just, sorry,
oh,
Tom.
Oh my goodness.
I think technology has made us very comfortable.
Well, and what I've done is I started to give the boys projects at home that I didn't say, I'm going to do it and you watch me do it. Or, hey, let's do it together. Instead, I said, I'm too busy. You guys are going to be in a place one day. You're going to be the head of a household. You're going to have to know how to do this. Figure it out. And every task I've given them so far, they've had to bump up against an obstacle. Like, oh, we had the wrong part. We had to go back and get it again. We had to go get a different part. That happens every time they fix something. And then even when they were cleaning, it's like, oh, we drove out there and it was closed, the dump. So they've bumped up against obstacles every time. And then it wasn't enough. I didn't let them say, let me rescue you. I've said instead, you need to figure this out. And I'd kind of give them pointers or guidance, but I didn't rescue them. So I thought that it's a fascinating process. I think that I'm enjoying like being a father to them in that way. And in a certain sense, I think it's getting at a little bit of what you had been saying to me in the last couple of summers, I would say, or in the last couple of years. Hey, it's your job to turn these boys into men, right?
Did I say that?
Well, it's something like that. It's your job to turn these boys into men. And it's like these guys, it was too easy for me to fall into the mindset of I've got to provide a cover and protect them and provide for them and lead them. And I'm going to do this for them. And I'm hearing your voice say that's not helping them. That's not helping them grow up, become men, and learn how to stand on their own two feet and to take initiative. So that's been a nice change. I think they've been a bit surprised by it, the kids, but I like how they've stepped up. It's not just the two boys, but all four of them that have come back from school. So, well, Carrie, we are up against the end of our program. We've got about 30 seconds left. Do you have any kind of final words that are jumping in your mind about our trip?
Beautiful weather. It's so good to get away for a few days. Just grateful for this the busy time right now, but just a time to just have gratitude for all the kids graduating, kids making their first communion, kids coming home,
kids getting confirmed.
Just there's so much going on right now, and just feel gratitude for the end of the school year and seeing how much kids have grown in the last year, and just to maintain that spirit of gratitude.
That's awesome. Thanks, Carrie. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Join me on Monday for more programs.